Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, November 28th, and I am reading from the Contemporary English Version. Today is the last day that I will be reading by myself for a while, because tomorrow we begin Advent and we'll have the great privilege of hearing from lots of different staff members who have written devotionals. They will read the scripture that is connected with their devotional, and then they'll read their devotional for you. So it should be a really cool time together around God's Word. And so we're going to take a little break from this type of daily reading, but hopefully at the beginning of the year, we will pick right back up in the book of Acts, because we're going to leave it in a cliffhanger. Okay, Acts chapter 22. We are in verse 22, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Now, you'll remember from yesterday that Paul is speaking in Aramaic to the Jews who are trying to kill him, and he has angered them by this last sentence in verse 21. "But the Lord told me to go, and he promised to send me far away to the Gentiles." Now we pick up in verse 22. "The crowd listened until Paul said this, and then they started shouting, 'Get rid of this man. He doesn't deserve to live.' They kept shouting. They waved their clothes around and threw dust into the air. The Roman commander ordered Paul to be taken into the fortress and beaten with a whip. He did this to find out why the people were screaming at Paul. While the soldiers were tying Paul up to be beaten, he asked the officer standing there, 'Is it legal to beat a Roman citizen before he has been tried in court?' When the officer heard this, he went to the commander and said, 'What are you doing? This man is a Roman citizen.' The commander went to Paul and asked, 'Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?' 'Yes,' Paul answered. The commander then said, 'I paid a lot of money to become a Roman citizen.' But Paul replied, 'I was born a Roman citizen.' The men who were about to beat and question Paul quickly backed off. And the commander himself was frightened when he realized that he had put a Roman citizen in chains. The next day, the commander wanted to know the real reason why the Jewish leaders had brought charges against Paul. So he had Paul's chains removed, and he ordered the chief priest and the whole council to meet. Then he had Paul led in and made him stand in front of them." I really hate stopping on that note in the book of Acts. There's so much more for us to learn. And there are 5 more chapters in the book of Acts. If you have some time today, it might be a great thing to read on to the end and be encouraged of the Lord's faithfulness in the midst of the early church and the message of the gospel going forward. We'll turn over now to the book of Psalms. We will pick up in reading Psalm 15 and Psalm 16. "Who may stay in God's temple or live in the holy mountain of the Lord? Only those who obey God and do as they should. They speak the truth and don't spread gossip. They treat others fairly and don't say cruel things. They hate worthless people, but show respect for all who worship the Lord. And they keep their promises, no matter what the cost. They lend their money without charging interest, and they don't take bribes to hurt the innocent. Those who do these things will always stand firm." And from Psalm 16, a special psalm by David. "Protect me, Lord God. I run to you for safety. And I have said, 'Only you are my Lord. Every good thing I have is a gift from you.' Your people are wonderful, and they make me happy. But worshipers of other gods will have much sorrow. I refuse to offer sacrifices of blood to those gods or worship in their name. You, Lord, are all I want. You are my choice, and you keep me safe. You make my life pleasant, and my future is bright. I praise you, Lord, for being my guide. Even in the darkest night, your teachings fill my mind. I will always look to you as you stand beside me and protect me from fear. With all my heart, I will celebrate, and I can safely rest. I am your chosen one. You won't leave me in the grave or let my body decay. You have shown me the path to life, and you make me glad by being near to me. Sitting at your right side, I will always be joyful. And now we move into Isaiah chapter 16, and the title of this section in the contemporary English version says, "More Trouble for Moab." Send lambs as gifts to the ruler of the land. Send them across the desert from Sela to Mount Zion. The women of Moab crossing the Arnon River are like a flock of birds scattered from their nests. Moab's messengers say to the people of Judah, "Be kind and help us. Shade us from the heat of the noonday sun. Hide our refugees. Don't turn them away. Let our people live in your country and find safety here. Moab, your cruel enemies will disappear. They will no longer attack and destroy your land. Then a kingdom of love will be set up, and someone from David's family will rule with fairness. He will do what is right and quickly bring justice. We have heard of Moab's pride. Its people strut and boast, but without reason. Tell everyone in Moab to mourn for their nation. Tell them to cry and weep for those fancy raisins of Kir Hareseth. Vineyards near Heshbon and Sibmah have turned brown. The rulers of nations used to get drunk on wine from those vineyards that spread to Jazer, then across the desert and beyond the sea. Now I mourn like Jazer for the vineyards of Sibmah. I shed tears for Heshbon and for Elealeh. There will be no more harvest celebrations or joyful and happy times while bringing in the crops. Singing and shouting are gone from the vineyards. There are no joyful shouts where grapes were pressed. God has silenced them all. Deep in my heart, I hurt for Moab and Kir Hareseth. It's useless for Moab's people to wear themselves out by going to their altars to worship and pray." The Lord has already said all of this about Moab. Now he says, "The contract of a hired worker is good for 3 years, but Moab's glory and greatness won't last any longer than that. Only a few of its people will survive, and they will be left helpless." Now, I really hate ending on that note, that the people will be left helpless, because you and I both know that the great story of the prophets is that we are not left without a helper. Our helper, Jesus Christ, is coming. He has come in the first advent, and he will come again to save us. And so as we close this time together, I just want us to meditate for a minute on who Jesus is, using the hymn in Colossians chapter 1 as a sort of formula for our prayer. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creations. And for by you all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through you and for you. Lord, we thank you that you are before all things and that in you all things hold together. You are the head of the body, the church. You are the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In everything, you are preeminent. In you, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through you, you reconcile to yourself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by your blood on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that we who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, you have reconciled us with your body of flesh by your death in order to present us holy and blameless and above reproach before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the ways that you have come to us and the way that you will come again in your second coming. We love you and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.